Hi, this is Dave Olson. I'm the senior leader of Heartland Church located in Ankeny, Iowa. I hope the following message challenges, encourages, and ultimately changes you. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'm not Pastor Dave. I'm Pastor Adam. I'm your executive pastor. So glad to be here today to be able to minister. The Lord's put a specific word on my heart for the church in this season. You know, praying and thinking about where we're at in our season as a church. You know, given that Pastor Dave even ministered, I believe it was last week, on times and seasons, there's just a specific word that God wanted to bring out today. He's been preparing me for about a month, and Pastor knew it was coming, I knew it was coming, and here we go. Are you all ready? I love to open the Word, love to get in, let God do what He wants to do, so we're going to do that this morning. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank You that You are faithful and You're good. You're having a good day. Lord, You're having a good day. Lord, Your word says that to those who believe, out of their bellies will flow rivers of living water. And so right now, I release Your kingdom in this place. And to everyone who hears this message, I release Your kingdom in Jesus' name. Have Your way. Amen. This morning, I want to minister to you a message that I call Called to Ministry. And as I get started this morning, I'm reminded of Moses in the Old Testament. And Moses is a guy who had a divine heritage, you know, from God, and at one point starts to step into that and set people free, and then he gets afraid and he runs out into the desert, and then he gets married and he finds himself out with the sheep in the wilderness, and one day he's just doing the do. He's doing what he did every day, and all of a sudden he looks up and he sees this bush that's on fire. And he decides that, you know, like any of us, what is that? So he decides to draw near to the fire. And as he draws near to the fire, the Lord speaks to him out of the fire. And my heart for today's message is that you would, at this moment, just decide to draw near to the fire of God, that He could speak to you out of the fire. You know, one day there's another story in the Old Testament about Elijah. He was a prophet of God, a man of God, and there was another guy named Elisha, and Elisha's out in his field one day. He's out there, and he's got oxen, and he's got a plow, and he's plowing along. He's doing his everyday calling, what he's called to do. And all of a sudden, what appears to be in the scriptures, feeling out of nowhere, Elisha, this prophet of God, this man of God, walks onto his land, walks over to him, takes the mantle, which was like a cloak, takes that off of himself and puts it on Elisha, and then walks away. And in that context and in that day, that was a very special thing known to the Hebrew people, known to that people, that I am being called to follow. And he runs to Elijah and he says, Elijah, Elijah, let me go back and tell my parents, let me tell my parents what's happened, and I will come and follow you. And Elijah, knowing the cost of what he just asked of this man, says, go and do it, for what have I done to you? What have I done to you, it says. And so he goes and he takes his plow, and he breaks up his plow, slaughters the oxen, lights the plow on fire. He burns the plow, and he sacrifices the oxen, and his family celebrates together this moment and this momentous, awesome, holy occasion of him accepting the call to follow into ministry. Today, I'm going to open up the scriptures, and we're going to enter into Ephesians chapter 4, because perhaps God, in His divine nature, just like Elijah, just came across Elisha on that day. Just like Jesus showed up in a fire in a bush when Moses was least expecting it. Maybe God brought you here today and under the sound of my voice to light a fire for your own ministry call from God. Ephesians chapter 4. It got quiet in here. Verse 1, it says this, "Therefore I, a prisoner for the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." Paul is writing to the church at the town of Ephesus, and you know, just like he could be writing to us today. And he's saying to all the believers that are there, those who have already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came, he died for their sins, and they've placed their faith in him, and they're expecting Jesus to come back one day to judge the living and the dead. They know that he's alive, he's in heaven, and he's coming back. And he's writing to this church, this group of people that meet regularly together for worship and learning and mission. He's writing to them, and he's saying to all the believers, lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. My first point for today is this. Believer, you have been called to ministry by God. Every believer in Jesus Christ has a calling from God. A divine, unique, special purpose for existing. In fact, every person ever created, God has known them. I always say there's no accidental children. There are accidental parents. Maybe some of you have been that. There's no accidental children, though. God knows them all by name. He sets them in families, the scripture tells us. And he's given each one of you a unique and special calling, a ministry. I'm going to read down in verse 11, and we'll read farther. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people. How many of you would say, I'm God's people? That's me. I'm God's people. Good to meet you. Awesome. To equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. What he's saying here is that every believer in Jesus, every person has a unique purpose for existence. So, find and fulfill your ministry. Find and fulfill your calling from God. Back up to verse 1. Lead a life worthy of your calling. Your calling. Your calling. Don't you think, how many of you guys work at a job where every year you have something called an annual performance review? Anybody? Pretty common in a lot of businesses. You know, you go in at the end of the year and the boss says, well, you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do this, and on a scale of 0 to 10, you know, you knocked it out of the park. I'm sure you all get that all the time. You were an 11 out of 10, and so we're going to give you a bonus this year, right? It's a performance review because you did your job. Wouldn't it be odd if you were, let's say that your job is a barista, okay, and your job is to make espresso drinks, and you know, that's what you're hired to do, and you've worked making espresso drinks for 6 months, and then one day you decide, you know what, my friend makes pizzas at their job, and I want to make pizzas. And so you go into the coffee shop where you work, and you decide to pick up the stuff, all the different things for pizzas. You pick up flour and yeast and all the fixings for pizzas, and you go in there to the coffee shop and you're making pizzas. Your boss walks in. How do you think your boss would react? What are you doing? You're not called to work here to make pizzas. You're called to work here to make espresso drinks. But my friend makes pizzas, and I want to be like my friend. I haven't hired you to be like your friend. I've hired you to be you. Make espresso drinks. Jesus is saying, lead a life worthy of your calling. Don't look around the body of Christ at all the other saints and say, well, I wish that I could do that, or, you know, because they pray for people like that, I'm going to pray for people like that, or because they do that, I'm going to do that. No, no, no. You have a unique calling from God. Lead a life worthy of your calling. When you get to your final review in heaven and you sit with the Lord, you want to hear, well done, good, well done, right? My servant, well done. You don't want to hear, you made pizzas for 20 years. You struggled to make pizzas for 20 years, but I called you to be a barista. Romans chapter 12 gives us some different gifts that God gives to different people in the church. He gives the gifts of prophecy to certain people and not others. He gives the gift of serving to people. He gives the gift of leadership to certain people. He wires all of us different. And when we get to heaven, God's not going to say, why couldn't you be more like so-and-so? No. He's going to look at you and say, I gave you these gifts. This was your calling. How'd you do? Being you. We need to rejoice in being who God has called us to be. Every believer has a ministry from God. Find and fulfill yours. Talking to you about call to ministry. Point number two. Every believer is called to be a disciple. Matthew chapter 28 says to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them. Well, if the original apostles went and made disciples, down through the ranks of the generations, we are those disciples. And what are we called to do? Become disciples and make disciples. Well, what is a disciple? If I'm called to be a disciple, what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. The Lord literally said, go and make learners of all nations, teaching them to observe and to do all that I've commanded you to do. You're called to ministry. You're called to a specific ministry from God, and you are called to be a learner. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says to go after training in godliness, training in righteousness. We as the people of God and living in our current culture, we have a training culture. We have a training culture. I mean, people spend a lot of time training their bodies. They train their bodies, you know? When they're in their teens, they're training their bodies. They need to get muscles for the first time. And then when they're in their 20s, you know, they're like, I have to look good, and I have to have the right picture on social media so that hopefully I can find that special someone. Even though I don't want them to be attracted to my body, I'm going to make my body the focus. Word. In your 30s, maybe you get married and you have some niños and niñas running around and these kids, and you're like, I don't have time to work out as much as I did. And in your 40s, you're like starting to feel things in your body a little bit different. And so you're like, I remember what it was like when I was 20. I could run miles and I could lift this. And so you go try it. And God reminds you that your body is 40. And you start to get little aches and little pains. And at 50, you rebel. You're like, I rebel against it all. I will train my body, and I will train my body to eat right. And I will eat the healthy, the most natural, the best. Or I will do the keto diet. Or I will do the vegan diet. Or I will do the no diet, fasting and prayer and fasting and prayer. And there's something that will work for me. And we spend this environment training and training, and we get 60s. Well, not me yet, but you get 60s and 70s, and you're like, if you're on Facebook, you're like, you see this ad come to you, and it's for the chair workout. Anybody see the chair workout? Yes, definitely. And they show the person, you don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to run for miles. You know, you don't have to eat all this stuff. All you have to do is get a chair. And you just get on the chair and you just do these things and you'll look like this. And they show you this picture of a old man face and a young man body. It's like connected with AI. Anybody ever seen that? And you're like, believe me, all you have to do is use this chair and you'll become all brand new. And we spend millions of dollars as people training our bodies. We do. We're a training generation. And then we right now, our whole culture is a therapeutic generation culture. We are training. We're spending money on therapy like no generation of the past. We're training our souls. And not all of that's bad. Mind, will, and emotions and understanding how that integrates and all that stuff. But what I'm saying is we're a training generation. We're giving ourselves to training. But Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, train yourself in godliness. So we invest in our workout, and we invest in time, we invest in our diet, we invest in chickens that roam around instead of chickens that were in a shed, and you know, their eggs are different, and you know, we invest in all this kind of stuff. We'll pay, I mean, people will pay $7, $8, $9, $10, $11, $12 for $1 per egg, you know, and we invest in these things. But how much do we invest in our training in godliness? See, you're called to ministry. You have a unique calling from God. He's got a wiring for you that will light you up and bring you fulfillment, like, because that's what you were created for. And we'll train our bodies and we'll train our souls, but we also need to train our spirits. So there's this calling to ministry that all people have. All people are called to ministry. Now, when we come to church, we come together as his saints, and we minister to one another out of the grace of God that we have in our hearts and our lives. Ministry is ministry for most people. You come into the church, you minister to one another as one big, divine, godly, multi-generational, multi-ethnic family. And it's the most beautiful thing. We come together and we don't say, yeah, that's not my gift to change a diaper, or that's not my gift to smile, or that's not my gift to work with teenagers or kids, or that's not my gift to stand behind a camera. Why? Because everybody in the family does the dishes. Everybody in the family gets up and helps. The only people who don't do the dishes are children that are too small to do the dishes. Guests don't do the dishes. And that weird uncle that never grew up, he doesn't do the dishes. And everybody knows something's off with that uncle. No, we're a family, and we minister to one another with our grace gifts, okay? But the majority of your ministry, the majority of your calling is actually worked out outside the walls of the church building. You come in here to develop in your ministry. You serve within the church. You rub shoulders with the people in the church, those that make you mad and those that don't, so that you grow to become mature like Christ, so that you can go out into your true mission field, so that you can lead your family, lead your marriage, lead your children, show up like Christ in the workplace, affect culture for good, reflect His glory in the earth. That's your ministry. That's your ministry. Every believer has a ministry. Every believer is called to ministry. Every believer is called to learn. But there are some, the Bible says. There are some, it says Ephesians 4:11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. The New King James Version of the Scriptures and possibly the English Standard Version of the Scriptures say some. There are some given. There are some given as gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to the church. So everyone in the church has a ministry. And yet from the church, there are those who are called out among the church with a unique calling back to the church itself. And what do? The Bible says here, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. What's the goal? Maturity. Maturing the saints so that their lives look like Christ, that Christ is shaped in them, not to look like me, to look like Christ in you. So there are some, everybody's called to a ministry, everybody's called to learn. There are some that God calls out from the body, and He calls them as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors or teachers. Your version may say shepherds and teachers. Apostles, they're like the thumb on the hand. You may have heard this, these five gifts that Christ gave the church as a fivefold ministry. It's like a hand. The apostle's like the thumb. The apostle touches all the other gifts that minister to the church. The apostle brings strength and foundation. The pointer finger is like the prophet. The prophet hears the word of the Lord in due season and points the way for the body. The evangelist reaches farther than any other gift into the darkness. The evangelist becomes very uncomfortable if all of their time is spent inside the church walls. They want to go out there and get right in front of the enemy in his territory and call people out. And they want to train people to do that as well. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor. The pastor, the shepherd. He's married to the church. She's married to the local church. Walks with the church members. Talks with the church members, smells like the church members, marries the church members, right? And buries the church members and is there to weep with them and to walk with them through all the hard times of life. They're not there to put on a show. They're there to be authentic and with you. And then there's the teacher, who you might say is the smallest of the gifts, and yet they're not at all. They're all equal. They're just unique and different. The teacher gets into the nooks and crannies of what holds things together and connects the dots of all the ideas of doctrine and philosophy and how they connect to our daily life, and they make sense out of it all. And this apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are gifts that Christ Jesus gave you because He loves you. He loves you so much that He didn't just go to heaven and say, good luck. He gave you these gifts to help you find your ministry, get equipped for your ministry, get built up for your ministry, and then grow in your ministry to maturity. how do you come to be one of these gifts? You ever ask that? How do you be a pastor? Is everybody that preaches a pastor? I can tell you no. Why does some people call themselves prophets and others not? And does everybody that call themselves a prophet, are they a prophet? I can tell you no. All believers can prophesy, but it doesn't mean you're a prophet. This afternoon, you could go home. You could pull up to your house. You could get in your garage, shut the garage door, and sit in your garage all day long. But it won't make you a car. Why? That's not your wiring from God. You can sit in a garage, but it won't make you a car. You can prophesy, but it doesn't necessarily make you a prophet. You can shepherd people, but it doesn't, with good advice, but it doesn't necessarily make you a pastor. How does all this happen? He says here that he gave these five gifts to help the body fulfill the work of ministry. The New King James Version, the English Standard Version, says the work of ministry. In other words, every believer has ministry to do. My job is to equip you and build you up so that you fulfill it. Yet, we run into this issue in America with our English language because we use the word called to ministry to talk about people that are pastors and apostles and prophets and teachers, and we say they're called to ministry. Well, that gets confusing because every believer is called to ministry. And your ministry is wonderful, and the world can't happen without it. If your ministry context that God's called you to make a difference in is a hospital, and you have a mercy gift, and you go over there and you serve with that mercy gift from God, one day you will probably be ministering to my body so that I can stand up here and preach. We need everybody, don't we? So we have this thing in the English language where all people are called to ministry, yet we have these some that are called out to ministry as well. But the word in the original languages for that gifts right there, where it says, and Christ gave these gifts to the body, that word is domata. It separates these people out as unique. Unique not as they're another level of human being, but unique in their grace gifting from God. You have grace to fulfill your ministry. I have grace to fulfill my ministry. It's a unique grace. You know what I did this morning? I got up and I took a shower. I hope you guys did too. You know what else I did this morning? I put on my pants, one leg at a time. You know what? That's how every minister puts on their pants. We're not a different level of human being. Just because God's provided a platform for us to equip saints to fulfill their ministry doesn't mean that we are a better version of humanity. And I think there's been some instance over time in culture where there's been a separation between, oh, those are the ministers and we are the laity. Those are the special people and we are the non-special people. But we are all given ministries and we are all special in God's eyes. We simply have unique and different callings from God. But what does it look like if someone is called to domata ministry? You can be in a church 20 years and nobody explain this to you. And then you won't know how to function with these people that come alongside you, or you could be in a church for 20 years and never know how to become who God has graced you to be. And I'll just break it down really simply, and we'll put this up on the screen for you today. If you're called to Domata ministry, we often see these four things happen. There's a time of calling where God comes across your life in some way, whether it's through a divine encounter with Jesus himself, or it's through God speaking through another person, through a worship experience or something, where God calls you with a desire to serve him in one of these ways. You may not know, oh, I'm an apostle right away, or I'm a pastor or whatever. You just know I am called as something different. I'm called out from the, maybe you've been a businessman or businesswoman for years, and all of a sudden there's this desire growing in you, and God speaks to you in a moment like, I need to separate myself to this calling. God's doing something in me. I need to go after this. This is different. This is unique. So there's a calling moment. Then there's a preparation time, a preparation season, which will include education. And oftentimes you see Bible schools prop up for this reason, that they're educating people to fulfill their function. Just like you would go, if you were called to be a nurse, you would go to college and learn how to nurse and how to care for people and put the stuff in their veins and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and learn how to deal with the smells of the human body and all those kind of things. You need training. And sometimes we get, especially in charismaniac circles, which I grew up in and I love, I'm all for the Spirit of God, but sometimes we get so lit up with the Spirit of God that we're like, God will figure it out, and we forget, like, man, it'd be good to get some skills, like get some education along the way, you know? Like, I need to know that I'm teaching the whole counsel of the Word of God, not just my own ideas. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, you get praying, and then you eat something, and you eat something that's off, and then you get some unique ideas coming. Not everything that comes out your mouth is from God. So we have to know, we have to be able to know, right? So there's a preparation season, which will include education in a mentorship environment. You come under people who speak into your life and call out things in your life and help you grow in those things and help you understand your wiring from God. And then there's a separation season. The separation season is kind of, you may have heard this before, like someone being licensed in ministry or provisionally ordained in ministry. This is a time of testing, where they step out and who they know themselves to be, but they start to function in it. And, you know, if I was a counselor and I'm giving counsel and everybody I give counsel to is worse off when I'm done with them than I was when I started, I need somebody, a mentor, to come alongside my life and go, hey, man, I love you too much to let you continue in this vein. Like, that's not your wiring from God. Like, here, try this, right? At the same time, if, you know, I'm called pastorally and I feel pastoral and I get put in a counseling environment and all of a sudden fruit shows up in people's lives, like marriages are getting fixed, people are getting understanding, anointing is showing up in the room and all this kind of stuff's happening, then we bless that and we say, yes, that's what God's doing. You are a pastor. And then we commission them. We send them. This is when, like, the elders of the church will get together. There'll be an assignment from God. I'm called to go here, do this. Yes, you are. We agree. And we come up and we lay hands on you and we send you in the anointing and in the relationship necessary to maintain longevity. That's why we need mentorship. That's why we need relationship. So God calls people to ministry. He lights a fire in them. And God is lighting a fire in some of you this morning for ministry. What is ministers' responsibility? Their responsibility is to God, to please God, not you. If they want to please you, they won't say the things to you that you need to hear when you need to hear them. They will always try to make life comfortable for you, and you won't grow, because we don't grow to maturity without going through testing. So your pastors love, we do like it when we please you. But our goal is to please God by serving you with spiritual equipment and spiritual edification, building you up to become mature. All believers are called to ministry. All believers are called to learn. Some of those believers are called out as domata ministry gifts to become the equippers and the edifiers in the body of Christ. And if you're called that way and you're not functioning in that way, you are very uncomfortable inside right now. God is lighting you up. I want to make this announcement this morning. Heartland Church, this fall, starting in September, we are launching Heartland Bible College. Heartland Bible College is an academy for cultural transformation. It's an academy to train those who want to go deeper in their faith, to understand their ministry call from God. The first year is going to be foundations. It's going to be heart. It's going to be kingdom foundations, kingdom heart. We're going to have classes like the kingdom, the love of God, getting into the Father's love and our identity. We're going to have a class called harmatology, which is about the nature of sin and temptation, how to overcome it. We're going to have all these classes lined out. One class a month is going to meet on Thursday mornings from 8:30 to 11:30. And then it's going to meet once a month, usually the last Sunday of the month, for a mentorship environment. And that mentorship environment is going to kind of be rabbinical in nature. It's going to be like sitting with your rabbi, and he's going to say, what did you learn? What stuck out to you? What are you struggling with? What are you having a hard time with? And you're going to go back and forth with that. He's going to teach you how to get into the presence of God, how to pray, learn how to pray and walk through these things. That's first year. Second year is going to be on kingdom-minded. What is your ministry? Now that you have this foundation from God, what is your ministry from God? Are you called to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, or teacher? Or what context are you called into? Where is your ministry? And you're going to start to see yourself as the minister God has called you to be. You're going to learn about faith. You're going to learn about the history of revival and how to walk in that. And then third year, it's going to move from the basics of foundations to a year of internship and growth into a year of apprenticeship where you live in the context that you're called to, ministering, helping people, walking in that, so that by the time you're done with your 3 years, you will have built the relationships in this house necessary for credentialing with the Heartland Alliance Ministry Network and where we can send you where God is calling you to be in relationship. So we're going to end up having an orientation. It's going to be like August 24th is the orientation. But right now, where things are at is the website is just being developed. Final things are being put into space for the budget and things like that. But if you'd like more information about it, if you'd like more information, you can scan this QR code. And that'll take you to our website where there's a page on our website now. Right at the top, it says Bible College. You can click on that. You can put in your email. You'll get placed on a list to be able to get updates and information. Who is this for? This is for anybody out of high school that wants to step into knowing their ministry call. This is you don't have to be called and know that I'm a pastor. You don't have to know that coming in. God calls everyone with a ministry, and he calls you to learn. He calls you to be a disciple. And you may be hearing God this morning like, hey, my season, I can see this, and I want you to pray about it. Coming into the fall, are you to enter a season of learning, of discipleship, of mentorship? Do you want to experience that student life experience with a whole cohort of people gathering every Thursday morning, growing in God with spirit-filled, qualified, lifelong ministers who want to pour into you and develop you in the meeting once a month on Sunday nights, working that stuff out in relationship and in Holy Spirit activation, praying together and seeing what God does in your life. If that's what God's calling you to do, I just ask you to fill out the stuff and get the information. There is no pressure here from me. No pressure from Pastor Dave. God calls those he wants to with a unique calling. Elijah came to Elisha because God showed it to him. Jesus, one day, he's walking along the seashore, and he calls out to these brothers on the boat, "Hey! Hey! You up there! Come! Follow me! And I'll make you a fisher of men." Their ministry up to that point had been to serve their father, their natural father, as fishermen. He was calling them to serve the Heavenly Father. And you know what they did? They dropped their nets and they followed him. Paul one day, he's known as Saul at that time. He's persecuting the church, killing Christians. He's avid for the things of God, but he doesn't have the right direction. And God meets him on the road to Damascus. Jesus shows up. He drops to his face, "Lord, Lord, who are you?" "I am Jesus that you're persecuting. Now get up. I'm sending you to the Gentiles, and I'll show you how much you must suffer for my name's sake. I'm calling you to minister this way." He encountered him. In 1997, I'm riding home from high school in my mom's car, and we're just talking, and just on a random day, I'm a senior in high school, I'm second semester senior, and I'm struggling. She doesn't know how much I'm struggling, but inside, I was struggling. I was looking around me at the environment. I'm thinking, all these people appear to know what they want to do with their life. Like, this one's going to college here. This one's going to do that. This one's going to be a nurse. This one's going to be a doctor. This one's going to be a lawyer. This one's going to be the... I don't see any of that for me. I don't know what's going on. And I'm in the car, just quiet, like all teenagers. "How was your day?" "Good." Very descriptive for my mother. But that day she said, "Hey, have you given any thought to what you want to do after high school?" I blew up. I blew up at my nice and sweet mom. I just blew up. It just, something is the pressure on the inside. The tension on the inside between what public school was leading me toward and what apparently God was shaping me toward was very tense in there, and I didn't even know it. But one day I came across this nice question and I just erupted. You know, I'm just like, I have no idea what I'm gonna do. I'm like loud in the car, in the passenger seat. And she's just driving, sweet driving home. I have no idea what I'm gonna do. Everybody knows what they're gonna do, and I'm just tearing up. I'm shouting in the car and I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. All I know is that I really love people. That's all I knew. No idea. And she kindly, nicely, "Well, just keep walking it out. God will show you." And he did. 2 years later, after a season of fraternity life that some of which I regret, some of which I don't, I found myself in a C.Y. Stevens auditorium up in Ames, and on my knees in the presence of God. And his presence came on me like warm honey all over my back. And I had felt that several times before growing up. I just didn't know what God was saying. And finally, I understood. I love people. I love people way more than other people seem to love people. Like, I'm around people and they're all thinking about how they're going to make money. I'm thinking about, are they okay? And I'm on my knees, consecrating my heart to God. And hear him, just this knowing in me comes. Not like an audible voice. There was no audible voice that said, "Adam, I have called you to the nations." That would have been nice, honestly. But it was this knowing that was so big on the inside of me that I could no longer deny the need to be wholly consecrated to whatever he had for me to do. And it did not align with the trajectory of I'm not an engineer, I'm not a lawyer, it just did not align. I'm like, God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. I just don't want some boring version of Christianity. I want the real deal. Give me an adventure. And he's never let me down. Never let me down. Less than 6 weeks later, the girl I was dating and myself checked out of Iowa State University and went to Bible school. Did I go back eventually and get different things? Yes, I did. I finished that journey. But in God's trajectory for my life, it's never been just a point A, point B, point C, point D. It's been like, woo, do this. Here, now do this. And just trust me. Jehovah sneaky. God almighty. And so, so good to know that you're doing what you're wired from God to do. So, God is speaking among us this morning. You are called of God with a ministry. All of you are called from God to learn, to be disciples. Some under the sound of my voice, God is calling into the fivefold ministry. You may not know which digit you are, but you know you're part of this hand. You're part of Christ's hand to help his church become who they're called to be. Let's bow our heads and give God a chance to speak.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to help more people hear this message, you can get the word out by subscribing and sharing it on social media. If you'd like to support the ministries of Heartland Church, you can do so at heartlandchurchonline.com/give.